Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The author of Ephesians today tells us to be strong in the Lord. To be strong in the Lord brings to mind that we need to be weightlifters or superheroes or somehow exhibit some sort of external strength that we might not know where it comes from. We've said before that you have to be strong in faith. I've heard people talk about that. I've heard people say, I have to have a strong faith. Or somebody needs to have strong faith in order to get through the struggles. I'm not always sure exactly what that means. The author of Ephesians goes on to say that you must put on these pieces of armor that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He warns that enemies are not flesh and blood necessarily, but cosmic powers of darkness and spiritual forces of evil. This wiles of the devil, this is not the way at least we as Lutherans usually talk. We don't give the devil that much power. And yet we know that bitterness and anger and fear and hopelessness, those indeed are, I suppose, wiles of the devil, as are systemic issues of racism and hatred and cruelty and indifference, things that we know go on in our lives and in our world. And we certainly know that our world includes pain and torture and illness and even death. I want to tell you about Vice Admiral James Stockdale. Perhaps you've heard of him. He was a career U.S. Navy person. He also, with Ross Perot, made a vice presidential run back in 1992. James Stockdale served in Vietnam. He was a pilot. He was also a prisoner of war. In 1965, his A-4 Skyhawk was shot down over enemy lines. He was able to eject, but he landed into a village where he was beaten. His leg was severely broken, and he was dragged out of town. He spent the next eight years, in what came to be known as Hanoi Hilton. He was the highest-ranking officer in the Navy that was kept there. And while there, he led the other prisoners in resistance efforts. He would encourage resistance to the attempts to break the prisoners. He established what came to be known as a code of conduct of how a true American soldier, seaman, airman, was to respond in the face of torture. Of course, these and his other obstinates displayed during his time in prison only brought more pain and torture. In the last few months of his captivity, he was taken to a place called Alcatraz, not the one in San Francisco, but a different facility that was far worse still there in Vietnam. He was kept in iron chains, kept in a cell where there was only a light bulb, but it burned night and day. In 1973, he was released. He returned home just barely. He could hardly walk. But he recovered and continued his military career. He retired in 1979, but only after receiving the Medal of Honor in 1976, along with numerous other honors and awards. Sometime after all of that, an author by the name of Jim Collins wanted to write a book about Stockdale's experiences and others like him. He asked Vice Admiral Stockdale, "How did you endure with an unbroken spirit? How did you live a productive life after all of that? a vigorous life, a life of purpose and fulfillment without animosity for all that you had endured. James Stockdale said this, "I never lost faith in the end of the story. I never doubted that I would not only get out, but also that I would prevail and turn the experience into a defining event in my life, which in retrospect, I would not trade." Think about that, looking back on something as horrific like that and admitting to yourself that you would not trade that part of your life for something that might have been better. This Jim Collins, in his book, turned this into what's called the Stockdale Paradox. Jim Collins writes that you must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end, which you can never afford to lose, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might be. So for Stockdale to be able to hold in tension that understanding that I will survive, I will get out, with the reality of pain and torture, anger and fear in his very life. Or for us to look to our own wounds and know that, yes, they will eventually heal, but today it just hurts, whether that pain is physical or emotional, relationship-wise, or in our deepest heart. Even this situation of COVID, we've had to understand among ourselves that there will be a sense of normal again someday. We don't necessarily know exactly when that will be. And yet today, we live with the difficult restrictions. We allow ourselves to experience separation from loved ones, even enduring sickness and death. All of this is what we call a redemptive tension. It's the understanding that we know that the brutal realities of today must exist for us alongside and overlapping the prevailing hope of eternity that we have in Jesus Christ. To know that our faith, our religion, our belief, our God does not take away the pain of today, but yet it overlaps it with a sense of hope, a sense of being able to endure. When we live in this tension, in the middle of these two, reality and hope, there we find true freedom. There we find the opportunity to give ourselves away, to know that we must not necessarily fix our lives today, but we must allow ourselves to be carried forward into what we trust that God has for us. This is indeed where we experience the cross of Christ, between the pain of our lives and the knowledge and the certainty that those chains will be broken and that we will live again. This is the cosmic powers and spiritual forces that the author of Ephesians talks about. This doubt in our lives and fear and cynicism and pride and even jealousy and insecurity that threatens to come into our world, come into our lives and push out by virtue of pain and suffering the hope in Christ that we have. To overlay that and to say to us on a day-to-day basis, you're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not going to make it through this. But the world will prevail, and you indeed, after all, are nothing. Now, if this seems a little hard to understand, if you kind of go, well, I don't know what you're quite talking about, remember that Jesus talked about these things, and people gathered around him, and still, people left him bewildered too. Today, the gospel lesson tells us about some of those disciples that couldn't quite understand, couldn't quite wrap their minds around this way that God exists with and for us. And yet some stayed. A few who declared, "Lord, where else can we go? What else can we trust in except your word and the promise that God is giving? You indeed have the words of eternal life." The words of eternal life is that while there is pain and suffering in the world, hope in Christ lays on top of those pains and even grows to encompass everything else in our lives, allowing us too to know that as we have come to believe that Christ indeed is the Holy One of God and put our trust in Christ, we too will face the wiles of today, the hurts of tomorrow, but also the glories that God has in store for us. Whether we're strong or whether we live with weakness and hurt and brokenness, these are the truths that we cling to, and indeed, this is the blessed assurance that is ours. Amen.